When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Are we up?
We're up.
Oh, good. So, anything you want to ask me about?
Well, are you all excited?
I'm not excited, but I do feel like I need to address it and I need to explain it because it was a tough decision and it was one that has taken me months to make. And for those of you who do know, I'm going to go back to Biggest Loser for a season. For those of you who don't know, now you do know. And it's funny because, you know, like there are people in the world that are like, oh, yay, and how awesome. And then there are people that really follow us and they're like, I don't understand. You know, you didn't want to be on that show. And I felt like someone said something and she's like, this goes against everything Jillian says. See, I do read your Facebook comments all the time. This goes against everything Jillian says to do. I don't understand it. And I didn't have the opportunity to explain why I made this choice. And I wanted to really explain it in case anybody else was being wondering, like, God, this goes against everything Jillian says to do. And, you know, when I left Loser, I'll be honest, you know, these are things you can't say on the Today Show. I was unhappy. I mean, I was really unhappy. Ugh. You know, it's like, well, you know, you left to start a family. It's like, yeah, that, and I was really unhappy. You know, both of those things. And so I left the show, and unfortunately, the doctors did not turn out how I wished it had. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the opportunity that I had wanted it to be, and I made a poor choice. There were a host of opportunities on the table, and I chose that one. Because it was available in that moment, and we've talked about that before. And so with that said, made a bad choice on the doctors. And in doing so, it was like, okay, you know, let's regroup here and have a little back to the drawing board. And the producers of Biggest Loser, quite honestly, in a nutshell, all got fired. All of them. There were 5 of them, and all of them got fired. There were 2 at one company, they got fired. There were 2 at another company, they got fired. And then there was one guy who was the actual showrunner, and he got fired. And I got it, and they were all men. And they'd pretty much all been there since the beginning. And all of them got fired because the one production company got bought, and so she replaced all those men with her own people.
Okay.
And one of them happens to be a guy that's a close friend of mine who ran Biggest Loser Australia. So this guy started engaging me in conversation and could because we were such good friends. And then subsequently, they brought a woman on as the showrunner of Biggest Loser. And again, for all you guys out there, I don't mean to sound like a jerk. I really don't. But, you know, in I hate to say Hollywood. Everyone always just says in this town. Historically speaking, men don't do well with women who have opinions in Los Angeles. And so having a female showrunner, which I had on Losing It, is kind of nice, quite honestly, because it's a lot of times women sort of band together and they celebrate each other's voice. And so we get in these conversations, and I didn't do it for season 13 because, honestly, I was focused on my kids, and I couldn't do it. Then they were going to start and do a fall season, and I couldn't do it. Same reason, my kids. And I was like, look, I can't work until 2013. And so there's no fall season of Loser, so it's like, okay, well, what about January of 2013? So it was like the family thing and, you know, all of these concessions of conversation with regard to, you know, look, if we get your family's important to you, you can bring your kids to set. You don't have to start until this date. And I sat down and I looked at the Loser experience, right? And I made a list. And this is the part that I want you guys to think about. I made a list of everything that was acceptable to me and everything that was unacceptable to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, all these things I couldn't live with. And they made me miserable on the show before. And it was everything like, I mean, putting my face on Biggest Loser products that I had nothing to do with, right. Having to do integrations for products I didn't believe in. I'm hating the producers of the show who made creative decisions that I thought were unethical, and the list goes on and on. So I made a list of things that I, you know, I was like, this I can live with, this I can't, this I can live with, this I can't, this I can live with, this I can't. And it was an ongoing conversation for months. And ultimately, and I let me tell you, I hung all the way in until I got pretty much everything that I could not live with kicked out of the contract. So there's that. With that said, there's also this, and this was a big factor for me. The relationship that I want with you guys, the audience, is not necessarily the relationship that you guys want with me. And yeah. I say this because I never heard the end from fans saying that they wanted me on that show and that they got a lot from my participation on that show and they wished I would return to that show. It's been over a year. And when I announced that I was going back on Facebook, there were 360,000 likes on that post.
Wow.
And I've got to tell you that when I announced my kids, I don't think I got 100,000 likes. Okay? I mean, and so there was something in me that understood, and it doesn't mean that I don't want to continue to do the things I hope to do, like the podcast or play around with, you know, YouTube shows or one day hopefully do both, do a daytime show the way that I envision it. If they ever let us, you know, I don't know, especially if you're watching The Daily Dose and have seen Janice with bananas in her pants. But the point is, I still want to do those things. But I really underestimated, I think, the role that I had on Loser and how many people appreciated it. And I didn't appreciate it until I started to read, you know, you guys' tweets to me, the message boards on my website, the comments on my Facebook. And please don't think that I underestimate that because I don't. And I realize that there is room for both things in the deal I have now. Ha ha. So in the deal I have now, I can do both. I can pretty much do anything I want to do on top of Biggest Loser. So I think that that's really important. And it was something that I didn't appreciate. And last but not least, the new regime in place, another one of my biggest issues with Loser is I felt like it wasn't doing anything new or different or big. And I was like, yes, I know. People come on and they lose weight. I got it. Okay. Yes, we've done it. We've done it a lot. We've done it over and over and over again. Right. I can do it in my sleep. I'm bored to death. I want to kill myself. I can't do this again. It's like Groundhog Day. And they're really serious for, and by the way, there's a part of this idea that really scares me, but they're really serious about trying to actually make a difference with the show on top of having people come on and telling their stories and having great contestants and them losing weight and being motivational. The core of the show is still there. But they're really serious about taking on childhood obesity. They're going to have 3 kids on the show. And it's 1 kid per team. They're not between 13 and 17. They're not going to be living on the ranch, and they cannot get eliminated. But each one of us will have an opportunity to work with a kid. Wow. And that was something on Losing It that I really loved, because I got to work with families. Mm-hmm. So I was able to work with kids. And in addition, a lot of the work that I do is with childhood obesity. So I work with NFL Play 60. I work with the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. I work with the Clinton Global Initiative, all on childhood obesity. But, you know, these platforms, they don't have a national television outlet to get out a message. And so, you know, I do a ton of work with these outlets and organizations, and I have for a really long time. But if it's something that Biggest Loser is going to commit to, and every week instead of a trainer tip, it's a trainer challenge, where we get to say, hey, guys, we challenge you this week, all you moms out there, call all the moms or 20 moms in your kids' class and set up with them taking a turn once a month to do PE after school, to run a PE class. It's not that hard. You can do hopscotch, double dutch jumping, whatever. It doesn't matter. Organize a soccer game, a softball game, a basketball game. And we can give people the actual tools so that we're not just paying lip service to, oh, this is really important, pay attention. Right. We're actually saying, okay, this is really important. We challenge you to be the difference that we all want to see in the world. It's not going to come from big government. It's not going to come from big business. We've got to stop waiting around for them to change things and to save us, because it's not going to happen. And we need to be that change. We need to step up and be the champions of change. And here's something you can do this week that's going to make a difference. We dare you. And I really like that, because to me, it's bigger and it makes a bigger statement.
Yeah.
So, you know, the show is still a show that people love, but it's taking on a bigger agenda and it's trying to do some real good in the world, which is important to me. So I know it's confusing. And trust me, it was a really confusing decision for me for a while. And it was something that I didn't do it season 13, and I really, you know, have put a lot of thought into it, and I feel really good about the creative direction of the show. I really feel like the people on board are good people with good intentions and a good heart, and I feel quite honestly good about the deal that I've negotiated. I don't feel like I'm in a position now where it's we made you, we'll break you. You know, mm-hmm. Which is just, that doesn't work with me. The we made you will break you makes me like, oh, it triggers my father stuff, and I just can't, I won't do it. And so I feel as though I'll be curious to see how I'm giving it a season. I'm giving it a season to see how it does. It's like a relationship. We're going to give it a season. We're going to see how it goes, and hopefully it'll go well.
Now, can you get, so there'll be, you're saying there are going to be 3 teams?
There's going to be 3 teams, yeah. But I made it really clear, again, that I am not really interested in a competition scenario. And that, you know, even though we're manning a, quote, team, because this was a big deal for me, that I have every intention of working with every contestant, and I have no problem with other trainers working with my contestants.
Right, gotcha.
Other trainers, Bob and Dolvet. I don't know Dolvet, but if he wants to train someone that's on my team, I don't have a problem with that. And I feel as though, I can only speak for Bob and myself, but I feel really strongly that there have been times in the past where I had things to offer people on his team, and he had things to offer people on my team. And in a really weird sort of analogy, it's like having 2 parents. Mm-hmm. You know, one parent serves one purpose and one parent serves another. And it's just kind of like, there are moments I see with my own kids where my daughter wants to be with Heidi, and then there are moments she wants to be with me. We provide something different. Bob and I provide something different. And I don't, you know, I'm not going in there to prove a point. I've proven it. You know, I'm not going in there to think, oh, gosh, I really hope your team goes home, which is something that has bothered me historically. And then when Bob and I were like, nah, we're not competing anymore, they were like, all right, well, we're going to bring in two new trainers and they're going to compete against you. You know, we're going to put your back against a wall, so you have to compete. And it just, you know, that was the end for me. I was like, this is just, I can't deal with this anymore. So I basically said, look, if this isn't like the Avengers, like we're all in this together, even though you're making us team captains, it's something I'm not interested in. So you can portray it any way you want to on camera, but I won't live like that on the ranch. And I really feel as though, you know, our showrunner, the woman who comes up essentially with most of the creative, she gets it. She's like, no, I get it. You know, I get it. I'm on board. I understand what you're saying. And, you know, it's going to go to individuals and you guys can all train everybody in X amount of episodes. And so I'm hoping. I'm basically giving it another chance. But I'll say this. I'm not repeating the same mistakes, because any mistake that could have been repeated, I cut out of that deal like a cancer. So, so that's that. We'll see how it goes.
Did we get to know how you're going to make your entrance yet?
I don't know, actually.
Come on!
I really don't know. I really actually don't know. And I kind of...
Drop you in off a plane.
No, I don't think so. It's not about that. It's really more about...
Yeah, but you can't just be sitting there, hey, how are you? You know, I guess you could.
I don't know. But I don't think it's... It's not so much about me. It's way more about the theme.
Yeah, no, I got
you. And that's what makes me excited. It's not like Jillian's back. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm helping out this season. Yeah, I'm going to take this issue on with them. But it's a big undertaking. It's a controversial undertaking. And it's, by the way, it's one that I didn't know if the show could handle right away. Because putting kids on a competition weight loss show, I was like, you can't do this. You can't.
Yeah, it's that's,
and I was like, you just can't. It's the wrong show for kids. The title is the wrong title. It's just no, 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 no. And then, you know, they did do their due diligence. I give them credit. They consulted with, like, the top childhood obesity experts, child psychologists, pediatricians. And there's no verbiage of how much weight did you lose. It's about helping the kids achieve healthy goals, like getting on a softball team. Things like that.
Right.
There's no kicking them off. There's no, you know, it's a completely different approach with the kids, and they'll be doing it at home, and we'll be counseling them on and off camera for the things that they don't feel like saying on camera that I don't think they should say on camera because right. of repercussions in school. So, you know, it made me nervous. And of course, when something makes me nervous, it's something that I want to get closer to. Because whenever I'm like, why does this make me nervous? Why do I have anxiety or fear around this issue? Okay, there's a lesson for me there. Let's see if we can't make it work the right way. And I'm hoping, I feel like I've dotted every I, I've crossed every T going into it. And if it goes wrong, you know, we'll learn from it. But
well, I think it's cool. I think it's great. And I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
You never watched it when I used to be on
no,
it.
No, I know, but I will this time.
You never watched it.
I did sometimes.
Before. Name one episode.
I think you're riding. I think you're riding on somebody's back, as like a pony. The man was the pony, and you were the rider, and you're on the beach or something, and you're
okay,
sitting on
that
him.
That happened, although I do think you're probably just like grabbing stuff out of the sky.
No,
there was a time you made that gal do lunges. Remember that gal in the gym?
No, and I remember when the man fainted, the older man fell down off the treadmill.
Who fainted? Was
then
it?
You guys had to call in the paramedics.
Was it Jerry from season 6, 7?
There was plenty of people passed out.
It was the older man that fainted.
Bob? Not Bob. Bill or
Bill?
Jim?
No, that's season 4. They didn't faint.
Well, some man had a hard time. Was having a hard time, and you actually didn't yell at him. You were quite concerned and knelt down beside him.
I doubt it. Then you definitely weren't watching. You definitely were not watching.
I'm sure you did.
So
So, hey, I found this article in Time Magazine, and it's called Can You Be Fat and Fit or Thin and Unhealthy?
Yes.
And they said it turns out you can
be both.
Yeah, but that's what they're saying, that the researchers, they did this whole thing about, they tested all these people, but there's a thing about being metabolically fit. Thank you.
Metabolically fit.
I know, I tried
bless
so
your
hard.
Heart.
But it's true, there are some bigger people that are incredibly healthy, and you think, I think there's, that's a, it's
well,
a...
Well, okay, hold on. Okay. I think the first thing we should address is, like, skinny fat or health in general. So they're both a little bit different, but like when you think about skinny fat, you've heard about this. This is becoming increasingly more not popular, but the awareness is rising about this. So you take a model, for example, and although she might be small in her size, she has an extremely high percentage of body fat because she doesn't work out and she doesn't eat well and they smoke cigarettes all day long and drink diet soda and, you know, barely eat this or that. So, of course, they don't have proper nutrition to build muscle, and they're not exercising to build muscle. So they have a high body fat content. So they're skinny fat. So there's that, which is also, by the way, extremely unhealthy. And the idea, again, just because a person is smaller doesn't mean that they're necessarily healthy. Health, to me, is not determined by your size. It's determined by a host of numbers. Everything from your blood sugar, your blood pressure, your cholesterol numbers, your VO2 max, like all these things that are going to determine how truly healthy your body actually is. Now, there are two things that are going to make you healthy. Quality food is going to help a heck of a lot, and exercise. Why? Well, exercise is sort of like the street cleaner of the body. It literally flushes toxins out of the system. It's one of the greatest things you can do for every single facet of your immunity, your wellness, this, that, or the other. Food, of course, when you eat clean food, functions like medicine. Which was the Greek philosopher that said food should be your medicine? Well, come on, look at it. When you look at all the vitamins and minerals and what they do in the body, it's everything from myelinating your brain to cell reproduction to vision to hearing to fighting off asthma. And I mean, you know, so if you're eating right and you're working out, then yeah, there's a good chance that you can be healthy. When you're obese, fat should be nothing other than stored energy. So I've seen people that are, we have Biggest Loser contestants that after 6 weeks on the ranch, they're more fit than people that have been working out for years because they're working out 6 hours a day.
But they're still carrying more weight.
They're still carrying a ton of weight, but they're off all their medications. Their blood pressure drops. Their resting heart rate is like next to nothing. I mean, it's unbelievable how incredibly healthy they get, but they're still carrying excess fat, excess weight. However, usually the behaviors you engage in to become obese are directly related to behaviors that make you unhealthy, like eating McDonald's or drinking soda or essentially eating crap and being sedentary generally causes most people to become obese. So that's why obesity is linked to all these diseases, because of the way that you're living, which is going to make you sick. But if you're eating really clean food, but maybe a little too much of it, and you work out regularly, but not enough to sort of burn off 20, 30, 40 pounds of excess energy. 40 is a lot of fat on the body, but 30 pounds of weight or what have you. You can still be fit. Not as fit, but fit.
Yeah, I guess why I was intrigued with that, there is a perception. You know, there is like this judgment that when you're bigger, you're not as healthy. And
I always thought it more about when you're small, you are healthy, which is totally not true. That's the lesson I want to get across here.
Right.
Not that it's okay to be fat, but that you might think that you're small or someone else is small and therefore healthy, which is absolutely not the case. Not the case at all. And those people that can eat anything they want, and so they do, just because they're skinny doesn't mean they ain't going to get cancer or drop dead of a heart attack. So, like, let's say you're eating foods that have hydrogenated oils in them. Well, much greater risk of heart disease. But if you're getting fat on foods that are omega-3 oils, well, again, too much avocado, too much almond, too much salmon, sure, you're going to get fat, but it's not going to clog your arteries in the same way.
So that's where
the quality of the food
and the lifestyle
is going to make a difference in your actual health. Yeah. Size is not indicative of wellness. So for all you skinny people out there who think you're getting away with murder, trust me, you're not. You're a ticking time bomb.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's harsh.
Mm. I need to know.
All right. Well, that was very good.
Good.
Very interesting.
Your only thing that's interesting is you pulled the article. Ooh, I'm enjoying my protein bar.
I knew you're
shame that you don't
I
have
knew you're going to start enjoying it more. You weren't enjoying it as much until I started looking at it.
Mmm. Yum. Cool. Peanut butter. You know what? It started with the whisper, and that was when I kissed her, and then she made my lips turn. I gave you the chit chat. Okay.
Yes.
You said you wanted a quick segment.
I need something quickie.
Yeah, I got one. It's kind of quick. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, my daughter, how do kids automatically know? Because I've never given her French fries, but the minute like French fries will come on a plate with, you know, you order a sandwich and they bring the fries and you may have said you forgot to tell them to bring a salad, or a friend will order a sandwich and she's like, oh, where, you know, trying to get that kid to try something. She's like, no. And she turns her head and sticks her hand in my face. Mama, no. But the fries, she just automatically is like, oh, yes, I must have tasty goodness. Yeah, I can't understand it. So I was at the supermarket, and I'm like, how can I reinvent the sort of potato wheel here? And I thought of some things you can do just to kind of remake your spud, so to speak. So, all right, let's say you're doing a baked potato, right? Well, sure, if you're adding butter, sour cream, bacon, and all that crap that you get at, like, a steakhouse, you're going to get over 30 grams of fat on there. But the reality is that a baked potato is 150 calories for a medium-sized one. That's actually not a lot. And if you get, like, a russet potato, that actually has a ton of antioxidants and this and that. So it's just a smart swap, okay? Skip the butter. Trade the bacon for chives. Use some organic Greek yogurt, like the non-fat Greek yogurt, like Oikos or Fage's Fine, instead of the sour cream. And then you're getting protein, you're getting a little antioxidants in your chives, you're getting the potato, which you get your little starch, but it's only about 170 calories total with 3 grams of fat. So just be smart with your swaps. Now, if you're a potato salad junkie, you realize that you don't need to load it up with tons of mayo. There's a vinegar-based version of potato salad, and instead of 360 calories a serving, it's around 155. And
God, potato salad's that high.
Oh my God, dude, it's the worst. But if you still want that creaminess, if you're like, oh no, I can't, you know, I can't stand it, then you just go back to the non-fat yogurt instead of the mayo, and you're going to shave off 130 calories.
Did you put egg in your potato salad? Or no, just potato salad?
I don't really cook much, but I just, I don't make it myself.
No, I can't make it, but I know.
But I would switch, I would do the vinegar one if I did.
Okay.
I don't, does it have egg in it?
Do you put egg, well, when you eat it?
I don't know. I always thought it was just mayo. I don't usually eat it, unless it's the vinegar one.
I put egg in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
But then you run the risk of salmonella because you're eating raw eggs.
No, not raw eggs. Hard-boiled eggs.
Ew.
Raw eggs? That's disgusting.
I've never seen egg in a potato salad.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then, but...
Do I need to call the Canadian supermarket again? Hi there.
No.
I'm just wondering, can you connect me to your deli section? Yes, do you have eggs in your potato salad? Thanks for playing.
Oh, it's good, though. And then add yogurt. Like,
well, I guess you could put eggs in it. Sure, there's some protein. Yeah, that's fine. Sure. Yeah, Janice, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, make your own fries. Bake them. Don't fry them. So, of course, like, the fast food variety has got 400 calories or so, but you can just make faux fries. So you cut them up and they're only like 100 calories. And it's really simple. It's like you just put them on a little sprayer thing and you bake them at 400 degrees for 20 minutes until they're lightly browned.
Yeah, olive oil.
Yeah, a little. You spritz them with olive oil and then you bake them for 20 minutes. And seriously, I mean, it's like the difference of 300 to 400 calories.
Yeah, home fries. I call them home fries. They're delicious.
Yeah, but they're not fried.
No, they're not
home fried. Bakes.
Home bakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of.
They're good.
All right. And then real quick, a mashed potato swap. So instead of butter and whole milk, which is like 237 calories a cup for these mashed potatoes, nix the butter, switch to the non-fat milk. You're going to save 80 calories right there. And you know what else you can do to get a little extra flavor is you can boil the potato in a low-sodium chicken broth instead of water.
I would do that with my quinoa.
It helps you get a little bit of the sodium, just a little more flavor without being unhealthy. Huh? How's that for a fast segment?
Very, very informative and very good.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, now what?
This is the greatest and best song in the world. Tribute. Long time ago, me and my brother Kyle here, we was hitchhiking down a long and lonesome road. All of a sudden.
Okay, we're back. And Samantha's waiting to talk to you.
Thank God. Good Lord, Janice. You're cracking up over there. Oh. Not in a good way. Hello, Samantha. I apologize for my less than professional producer.
Oh, she's awesome. It's okay.
Bless your heart. Yeah.
Samantha's a diplomat like my mother. Go ahead, bud.
That's okay. Okay, so I have a question about how much is too much. Mm. So I lost over 100 pounds so far.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. I'm down to a size 4.
Okay.
Been here for about a year and a half.
Jeez.
And I'm at 155.
Okay.
Which is a little bit heavier than I want to be.
How tall?
But I don't know where the finish line is. And I'm finding myself feeling really guilty about food and really obsessing about calories and exercise to the point where it's, I think, borderline unhealthy.
Okay, okay, just so I have a frame of reference, how tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
And you're 155 pounds?
Yes.
That's great. I think that's great. I mean, have you seen Janice at all? Like on the No, I'm about to be nice to you, Janice. I'm serious. Hold on. This isn't going to happen often, so really just
okay,
take a minute and
take
take it all in. I don't know if you've seen Janice like on maybe episodes of The Daily Dose that she does with me on YouTube, but like she's fit, right? I mean, Janice is fit. She was a dancer her whole life. She works out all the time. She's 5'5", 140 pounds. I'm 5'2", 117 pounds. And for every inch, as an adult female, you should allot about 5 pounds on a healthy level. So if you're 6 inches taller than me, then you should have about 30 extra pounds on your body. And
yeah.
you do. I mean, you're kind of, you sound like you're doing really well.
This is my issue. Like, I don't see myself at where I need to be. I didn't lose weight because I wanted to lose weight.
Okay.
I was obese my entire life. So I've never been this weight. I've never been this size. And when I look at myself, you know, my belly button frowns and my legs jiggle, and no matter how hard I work out, mm-hmm. I could work out 2 hours, 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Some weeks I work out 7 days, 4 hours a day, and I can be a total athletic badass, but I can't get my body to be where I feel like I work for.
There's two parts to this conversation. One, you're severely overtraining, which is part of the reason that you're not actually progressing to where you wanted to be at this point. You should never be working out that much, like, unless you're being supervised by an expert and, in addition, morbidly obese. Because there's no way you're consuming enough calories to match that amount of exercise, give or take maybe 500 calories, which when you're trying to lose like 10 pounds or firm up or get in great shape, you don't want a deficit of over 500 calories because it throws your body into a panic state because your body's going, wait, 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 I'm healthy. I don't want to be smaller than this. And the calorie deficit you're creating every day is enormous. So it's going to signal biochemical changes in your body to slow down your metabolism. It'll do things like release cortisol. It'll increase your hunger hormone, ghrelin. It'll lower your human growth hormone levels. Your body is very finely tuned and evolved to adapt for starvation purposes. So if you're throwing your body into a perceived state of starvation, a host of biochemical changes are going to happen. Metabolism is just biochemistry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a host of hormones that function like a symphony. And when one is out of tune, everything, the whole song's out of whack. So you, first of all, are, 4 hours a day? Did you say 7 days a week sometimes?
Oh, I would say 4 hours a day, maybe 4 days a week. And 3 other days, I'm either 2 hours or just like an hour.
Oh, dude, you need to really dial it back. I mean, and how many calories are you eating?
On an active day, about 2,400 probably, 22 to 2,400. And on a really low active day, probably around 1,500. I get so hungry. I feel like I inhale food, and then I feel guilty for inhaling food.
You're inhaling food because you're working out so much. So, for example, if you're working out 4 hours that day, okay, and let's say you're 100, how, I'm sorry to ask, can you give me a ballpark on age?
I'm 31.
Okay, you're 31, you're 5'8". I mean, I'm going to guess, but I bet your resting metabolic rate, and, you know, you work out a lot, is probably 1,700 at least. Then you've got your activity level, your exercise, and your afterburn on top of that. So you're probably burning at least, geez, I mean, I would think 3,500 calories a day at least. At least. I mean, if I threw a body bug on you or a armband, a calf fit band to count your calories, I mean, I guess you'd be around 3,500, maybe 4,000. So easily. So then you got to think, of course, your body, because your body's going, holy crap, we just burned four. I don't have that kind of calorie. I don't have that many calories to spare. So it's going to release ghrelin, which is why you're inhaling food. It's a hunger hormone.
Right.
So it's you. Okay. Wow. You got to dial this way back. So no more. No more. Max, I would put, I honestly would like to see you work out an hour a day at the most, 6 days a week. And you can make, you can make that hour really hard. I mean, you can go crazy during that hour, but, and then on those days you can eat 2000 calories, and on the day you don't, eat 1800.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's difficult is, you know, I lost, when I was losing the weight and I couldn't run across the room, I had to do the extra 2 hours because I had to get myself to be able to run. And now I want to get myself to an athletic state, and I don't know how to do that in just in an hour.
You
know what I'm saying?
Buddy, listen
to
me. You're, okay, first of all, when you have a ton of weight to lose, that's very different because your body is in a place where it's going, oh, my God, I've got all this excess weight. I want it off. I want it off. So then you're in a position where you can work out for a longer period of time, which is, you know, I've done it with contestants. I've pushed them for 6 hours a day. And never, by the way, though, in an athletic state, there's only 2 hours of the day where they're working out intensely. The rest is like slow and steady cardio burn because I don't want injuries and I don't want overtraining. I don't want stress hormone. Like, I'm very specific with how I structure their training. They never work out for over 2 hours at a time. I mean, you're not even working out with an expert who's periodizing that training day of yours. So in an hour, are you kidding me? I mean, go get, I'll send you Ripped in 30. I'll send you Body Revolution. They're 30-minute workouts. I will crush you in 30 minutes. I teach a class. I taught a class at Crunch the other day for this new program I launched called Body Shred. In 30 minutes, I looked at my business partner, and I was like, we got problems. I'm like, the fit people in this room couldn't do this class. I mean, you can absolutely get the crap kicked out of you in 30 minutes, let alone 60. So.
Right.
You know, I will send you these DVDs and they will destroy you. And I would much rather you work out, you know, for 30 minutes to an hour intensely. And that is part of the reason that you are like, oh my gosh, I feel jiggly, I feel soft, I don't feel like I look the right way. Well, yeah, because you're eating your own muscle tissue at this point. You're releasing massive quantities of stress hormone. You are overtraining like crazy. So you're actually pushing the needle in the wrong direction. There was a second part of this, though, and what was it? Oh, here's the other part of it. Now I remember. There's always going to be stuff on your body that you look at it and you go, how is this possible that this is my body? I do it every day with my ass. Every single day. I'm in the shower And there's, you know, there's your bathroom mirror. And every day I look at my ass and I'm like, I just don't understand how that's my ass. I can't figure it out. And it is. It's my ass. And it doesn't look like any, like you know, my daughter has these little puzzles on her iPad, right? Where it's like she puts, you know, it's like there's. She's got like, she scrolls through, okay? And it's like the top of an apple, then it's like the bottom of an orange. And she goes until she finds the middle section of an orange, or, you know, and she pieces together a whole apple. So it's like, there's my head. Yeah, that looks right. There's my shoulders. You know, that looks good. There's my abs. This is definitely going along with the puzzle. And then there's my ass. And it's like, it just doesn't, I don't understand it. It's like, we need to keep swiping to get the right ass to match the rest of the body. But I'm telling you right now, it looks nothing like the rest of my body. Nothing. But my point is, there's always going to be something where you're like, this just doesn't make sense. I work too hard to have this ass. And that's just life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, really, yeah, every day I'm like, how is this possible? And I look at the, because like, I don't carry any fat on my upper body. Very, very little. It all stores on my lower body because I'm an estrogen dominant female. So it's like, I look at these cyclers that blow past me on PCH and their legs are shredded. I've been cycling for a while now, getting ready for that triathlon. My legs don't look any frigging different. So remember, like, you are a woman. You're always going to have a certain percentage of body fat. At least you will if you're healthy. And your body's going to put it somewhere. And usually, unless you're very lucky, it's going to distribute in one spot, no matter what you do. And for some of it's our hips. For some of it, it's our ass. For some of us, it's our stomach. And there's going to be that one part where you're like, I just don't understand. I feel like I work too hard for this to be my ass. And that's okay. Then you need to get to a place where you really are like, good with it, dude. Where it's good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously. So you got to dial this way back, way back. And you need to start, you need to get a little more of an education on your calorie burn. You need some, seriously, I'm going to send you these DVDs and you need to, you need to listen and dial that stuff way back. Because that's a big part of the issues that you don't like.
Thank you so much for taking time for me today.
No, gosh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Oh, no, we have to end the show. Oh, no, 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 Jillian. No. Oh, Jake, look what she's doing. She's got the scar.
Someone get the tape away from her.
Brittany, you haven't seen this part of her, have you? When she gets a little bit tired, she starts putting scotch tape on her body parts. And sometimes... and then listen, now she'll peel it off really slow. It's wacko. Watch. Watch.
I need to take a picture of this. Can I take a picture?
No!
Watch. See?
Isn't that cool?
Okay. Time to go. Okay. Let's all say bye-bye now, okay?
I feel like there's another piece on me that I forgot about. Where is it?
It's on your neck. Your neck. Yeah, by your thyroid gland. All right. Right there on the thyroid gland. Okay. Bye-bye, everybody. Toot toot before she sticks it somewhere else.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.